And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Nice volume check again by Joe Rex Road to begin the show.
You'd think I would start low and go high, but I always start high and go low. It's a nice little blast.
It is.
Just like
make sure you're awake this morning.
A belt of coffee out of my shh.
No one cares.
No one cares. Mug. Look at Seaporth. If you want to say something today, shh, no one cares.
Wow.
Right
out of the gate. Oh,
dang.
Off the top rope at 6:01.
That might have been a little aggressive. I'm sorry.
If you say a word today, just remember that no one cares.
I'm just going to hold my mug up.
Well, now I'll just keep my mouth shut back here.
No, don't do that. You got choices yours today.
Yeah.
It'll be a big day. I do. I put a lot of work into this.
Count on it.
A lot of thought.
I bet you did.
I believe you.
Got another spot on the line today in our fantasy football league, the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. As a matter of fact, two spots on the line today.
People keep dropping out.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like one of those little eyes a little bigger than your stomach, which is never a problem for me. But, right? I mean, a little bit of, oh, yeah, I want to be in this fantasy league. And then you start hearing us talk all the football. And like, ooh, like, I don't think I want to mess with those guys.
Those guys are serious. Have two more spots available today for the Fantasy Football League. Looking forward to that.
So we should give a shout-out to who is it who relinquished the spot?
Dylan from Bowling Green.
Dylan from Bowling Green, which it would have been a jaunt. Would have been a jaunt if he was trying to go to the actual in-person draft.
Correct.
But thank you for, you know, thanks for participating. Good job getting the answer right. And maybe if you paid close attention to Fantasy Football League this year, you'll learn something about football.
Maybe so. We're very educational program we've got here.
Well, I'm talking trash to people who aren't even in the league, but
getting ready that for practice in there. That's right.
But here we are.
And yet, here we are.
Every time.
Nick Have Sirianni, some of that, Dylan.
That's right. Nick Sirianni just came on the Good Morning Football stream up here on the NFL Network, and every time Nick Sirianni starts talking, I just. If you want to be a head coach in the NFL, anything's possible, kids. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what is, you know, I mean, sometimes people don't like the press conference thing, and they're totally different. But I just can't imagine that guy just riling everybody up in the locker. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
He is Maybe a big Joey wrong. Chestnut fan, so he's got that going for him.
What'd you think of the Tebow mania yesterday? Well, we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday, but that was the chatter of the sports world yesterday. Tim Tebow being released by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I just, I guess I just maybe wish he would just sort of chill for a while. I mean, I think people make too much of it, and people are too critical of him, too. Like, it's all too much. It's just too much Tebow. It's enough.
He's done playing sports, right?
I think so. I mean, doesn't he have young kids?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's got any kids yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then never mind. I was going to say, like, you know, you got the, like, people dream of having the financial freedom to, like, you know, be more involved in their kids' life. You have that opportunity, and then you wouldn't be on TV.
Oh, he's recently married. I know that.
Yeah, okay. No kids. Okay. All right, well. Yeah, okay. Well, then spend more time with your wife.
That's right.
And out of the public eye for a while.
Yeah.
Why not? Then come back. And start your UFC career. It'd be great.
Looking forward to that. From Tim Tebow.
I mean, what's the most likely next sport for him?
That's a good question. Golf, maybe? Could he try to join the PGA Tour?
I have no idea. Like, does he play?
I don't know.
I mean, I bet
I didn't know he played baseball.
I bet you it's a combat sport.
Could be.
I mean, that would be my bet. And, I mean, look at all the dumb boxing and UFC matches that are in the world. I mean, you're telling me like Tebow versus like that kid who's really good at, you know, Grand Theft Auto wouldn't sell some tickets?
Oh, it would.
Sure, it would.
People would buy it, that's for sure. Keep an eye out on that. Tim Tebow, combat sports.
Like these kids who play the video games, like they have like one name too. It's like Madonna. Like
Ninja.
Jade. Yeah. Is that what I wanted?
Ninja? Yeah, Ninja's the big Fortnite player.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ninja. Madonna. And what a world we live in, man.
What a world we live in, for sure. The Titans on the practice field this morning against the defending Super Bowl champions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Titans media corps starting to arrive down there. Jared Stillman is down there. He's going to have coverage all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Although, shout out to Ben Arthur of the Tennessean, who got there, posted a photo, tagged it as Tampa Bay, and the photo that Ben Arthur put up is just basically from a parking lot of a hotel that looks like he could be in Metro Center or something over there. He got a lot of grief for that one. Of all the places you could go in Tampa Bay to make people feel jealous, the parking lot of your hotel is the picture that he took. It was great.
Is Tampa Bay like a pun that I don't get, or is it just a typo?
It's Tom Brady. Oh, my gosh.
Never heard of it. I've never heard that.
It's Tom Brady? Stop.
Never heard it. Never heard it.
That's all they've talked about for like the last year is Tampa Bay.
I'm. You know what upsets me is that I've had to hear it now because obviously I've been blissfully ignorant of this stupidity.
You have.
Tampa Bay. My God.
I am so disappointed.
I've heard Champa Bay a million
times. There's some of that too. Yeah. Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
The Tampa Bay is it's pretty popular.
Do you know how many times I said Tampa Bay as a dad joke sitting in this chair?
He did.
Like,
did he?
In January and February?
Yeah. I guess I just
thought, went right over your head.
I guess I just thought you were like David Poyle, like Alex Carrier or whatever, yeah. You know, like mispronouncing names randomly.
Tampa Bay. You'll be in Tampa Bay this weekend.
Yeah, I will now never call it Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, so Tampa dumb. Bay. But they, I'm looking at the picture now of Ben. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay.
I can't believe you didn't know that. I thought you, of all people, would have been subjected to this. And maybe it would have been in the Rex rant already. This could be a new material for you coming up next Monday.
Could be. I mean, I can't keep ripping my kids, right?
Well, no. Once Brennan starts running around the house asking for a Tampa Bay jersey.
Brady
jersey. That's when it will enter the Rex rant.
Speaking of that, Brennan's already gotten his gift.
Really?
He's got tickets.
Wow.
He's got that fastball.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? The fireball fast pass?
Sure.
It's like $30 a game.
Yeah.
He gets put somewhere. You know,
don't really know where it's going to be.
Yeah, but whatever.
Is it just him?
No. There's another. It'll probably sometimes be Katie going with him, and then, you know, we'll probably let him go with a friend sometimes, and they can wait for me for hours. I guess go to the bar. I don't know. We haven't figured it all out. We haven't figured out all the logistics.
Let Brennan and his friend walk over to Tin Roof or Honky Tonk Central to wait for you. I
mean, they can get some, what? They can get like some crispy onion straws and a lemonade.
Head over
right?
to Paradise Park, grab some tater tots.
Well, that's his favorite place.
Yeah.
Wait, that does exist again?
I think so.
Yes.
I think it's back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But like in a different spot?
Same spot.
No, it's back.
Really?
Yeah.
The first floor of Downtown Sporting Club is Paradise Park.
Yeah.
They brought it back.
Oh, good. That was our favorite place.
This happened like 2 years ago.
Get those tater tots
Come
back
on,
in there.
I did not. You're lying to me. 2 years ago.
Within the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So, like 3 months ago?
No.
That's within the last 2 years.
Rex Road's a little spicy today. I like it.
Well,
He's a little oblivious today. That's what I would say.
I'm a little oblivious on Tampa Bay, but Paradise Park has not been back for 2 years.
It's closer to 2 years than it is 3 months.
All right, well, that's good. I'm going to nail down the exact date.
Okay.
But, yeah, anyway, so that's Brennan is – we are turning him into a Titans fan. That's
the process has begun.
Yeah, and we're going to try to put away the childhood – Lions love, and
just as Dan Campbell stepping in, Brennan could be stepping out. It's probably a good call on his part.
That may not work, so who knows?
It's on the Titans.
December of 2019 is when Paradise Park returned.
Gosh.
What do you think of that?
I feel bad.
It's time to go back.
Yeah, I mean, that's
some tater tots.
That's where we always went.
That's right.
And then we're like, oh, it's gone. That sucks. So it was that place. And they just took out the first floor and said that place is just second floor and above?
Precisely.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. It's a very educational first segment.
That's right. Joe Rexroad, how big a deal are these couple of practices the Titans are putting on today and tomorrow against Tampa Bay? Obviously, not a game. It's not going to impact the Titans season one way or the other, but how much of a litmus test is this week, these next couple of days for the Titans, taking on obviously one of the Super Bowl favorites in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, I mean, they're useful. Coaches obviously like them. And I think what happens is, you know, in a preseason game, you're restricted by the fact that you're playing a game. I mean, look, you're making people pay for it. So you're going to play a game, and you're going to tackle to the ground, and you're going to do all the normal game things, and so coaches are not going to use a lot of guys. So in these situations, you can have – you know, you can have team stuff, 7-on-7 stuff, 1-on-1 drills, and work against really good players, but you don't take to the ground, so you can actually get more work in with your top guys against other top guys. So, I mean, that's not very exciting, probably, you know, to like, I mean, what does it really mean? How does it really pay off in a season? You know, it's just good work. So it'll be, you know, for some of those guys individually, it'll be a good test. It'll be, I mean, I'm sure every DB loves to, or at least talks themselves into the idea of loving, you know, lining up against Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and guys like that. And then, you know, obviously these offensive linemen are going to get some good pass rush, pass blocking reps for sure. So, yeah, it'll be, I think, a useful 2 days for them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a ton this weekend at the game itself based on just Tampa Bay not playing most of their starters at this point. So I'm not sure exactly what you're going to actually learn out of the game from a, you know, a ones versus one competitive standpoint. There'll be things that happen in the game Saturday and, you know, guys that are fighting for spots that make impacts just like they did this last Friday. And I'm looking forward to watching that. But it is interesting to see when you start thinking about the Titans and are they truly Super Bowl contenders and do they have the roster to match up with some of these elite teams in the NFL. It's going to be interesting to see, number one, who's available for the Titans this week, and number two, what these performances look like. Like, if you're Mike Vrabel, is A.J. Brown getting a lot of work this week? Is Derrick Henry going to get any work this week? Like, I'm interested to see what that looks like on the field for the Titans. I can't imagine that the formula for Derrick Henry is going to change all that much against Tampa Bay. Probably going to be as cautious as possible, but interested to see if A.J. Brown, if Anthony Firkser gets some work over the middle, like Anthony Firkser getting matched up against a Devin White, that'd be pretty interesting to see. Can you get open against a guy like that?
It's better than Brett Kern being matched up against Devin White, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I would think with Derrick Henry, yeah, it's probably – I mean, they probably don't have like a sand pit for him off to the side down there like they do here.
Just go create one.
That's what he does a lot, is works in that sand pit, so – yeah, I would think he's probably walk-through only because even the not taking to the ground stuff they haven't been doing with him, and I don't blame him.
Brandon from Spring Hill has sent a TikTok into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Okay.
From Tim Tebow and his wife. TikTok is one popular social media. Joe Rexroad, you do know what social media is, right? Hashtag I kid. Have you gotten on TikTok yet?
Every once in a while, I will look over and, or I'll go upstairs and, you know, go to my daughter's room or she'll be downstairs and she's just like doing these routines. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, TikTok. I'm like, okay. All right. I mean, I've seen, during like the beginning of the pandemic,
yeah,
there was a lot of the TikTok, right? That's when it took off. That's when it went nuts, right?
There was some Willie Donick action on the TikTok as
well. Yes. The Donick family one was pretty great.
Yeah.
But
Tebow's on there.
Okay, so this is T-Bone and his wife?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing this on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Why is that?
I'll show it to you during the break. I promise it's on there.
Maybe you need to upgrade your phone, Joe, from an iPhone 2 to, you know, present day.
Oh, poor's a little spicy today, too. Oh, I think you got his feelings hurt about your original comment to begin the segment.
No one cares.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. A big contract yesterday in the NFL that got me thinking about a very prominent member of the Titans defense. We'll get to more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined to begin the 7 o'clock hour by Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. So looking forward to that coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll check in with Clark Lee, see how fall camp is going so far for the Commodores. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And Joe Rexroad, a big contract yesterday in the NFL. Jamal Adams, safety for the Seattle Seahawks, signs a 4-year deal worth $70 million, a max value of $72 million in the deal that Jamal Adams has signed. Obviously a very good player, 25 years old, has been really good throughout his entire career with the Jets and then traded last year to the Seahawks as well. What did you think of that contract? And it got me thinking about a safety for the Tennessee Titans as well, whose contract kicks in this year. That's Kevin Byard, signed a 5-year deal worth $70.5 million. And his base salary, I believe, of $11.2 million, starts this year for the Titans with a $1.8 million signing bonus tossed in there as well. So Kevin Byard about to be making a lot of money for the Titans. What do you think of his deal? What do you think of Jamal Adams landing kind of right there around it with one less year in there as well? Two very different players, but two very good players nonetheless.
Yeah. So Byard will have a $15 million cap hit this year, which is, you know, big number. It's funny because I actually remember when Jamal Adams was supposed to be possibly a target for the Titans, like they might pair those guys together. What draft would it? That would have been the. Would that have been the Corey Davis?
I think so.
Adoree Jackson draft the year after Byard was drafted. Yeah, when he, you know, we still weren't sure exactly. You knew that he was coming on and he was going to be a starter and probably a good player, but obviously you wouldn't be paying two safeties like that. But
probably not.
Yeah, Byard is one of those guys on this team who we know how it goes in this league. I'd put Byard, I'd put Saffold, I'd put Lawan. Just when you have numbers like that, and you know, Julio Jones is a different deal. Right now, Derrick Henry looks like it's going to be a pretty good deal for the Titans, and Tannehill a pretty good deal for the Titans. But like those three guys in particular, you just head on a swivel, you know, with how things could go moving forward. But it's also it's a good reminder of, you know, this year you have a left tackle like that. You have a left guard like that. You can afford that. You bring in a Julio Jones and you have Kevin Byard still in his prime, you know, coming off, I guess it would be his worst season as a pro because it wasn't a season when we were like, is he the best safety in the NFL? I mean, no one's asking that question anymore. I mean, he's not a top – I mean, for whatever that's worth, he's not a top 100 player per the players in the league, which has not been the case the last few years. When the heck is that? The rest of that going to happen, by the way?
I don't know.
They're just going to leave us hanging until Thanksgiving? Like, what is going on with that?
So. See if any more Jets can make it in the top 40.
All right, I'm going to find this. Like, stay tuned, everybody. Next Thursday, we'll come back with the, you know, the next 17 guys or something. Like, but, I mean, look, if you want to talk about – there's a lot of, you know, a lot of grain of salt with a lot of that stuff. I mean, we've talked about Corey Davis being the top 100, and we will probably talk about it a lot more.
But, yes, we will.
You know, but I mean, I think there's also like the players value that, right? They value being on that list probably more than they value like media people voting them awards, right?
So
if
I would say so.
So if you're Byard and you've got the NFL players now are no longer saying that you're a top 100 player. I mean, that's got to be, well, for him, the way he uses things, he'll use that for sure. But it also probably tells you this is a critical year for him.
Yeah, it is. And look, you know, he didn't have a great year last year. And I have a lot of confidence that Kevin Byard is going to bounce back. And he's going to play much better this year. And I think the overall body of work, obviously, you're thrilled with if you're a Titans fan because he has been largely fantastic with the exception of last year, ever since he's been here. But I do look at this contract, and it takes him through age 31 is the last season that he has on this contract. There's a dead cap hit of $22 million this year. Obviously, he's not going anywhere this year. I think it's $8.2 million next year. That's a pretty high number. And then it moves down to $4 million, and then the final year, $1.5 million in terms of dead cap. And we just, as you pointed out, we know how this league works. Is Kevin Byard going to make it through the end of this contract? I think he can. I think if he plays anything like the Kevin Byard we've seen for most of his career, then he's worth the money that he's going to be paid. But if it starts to look more like last year at any point, all of a sudden, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, you've got some decisions to make because that's a whole lot of money tied up in a safety at that point that needs to be playing at a top level, in my opinion, to justify the money that he's been given.
Yeah, the worst case would be, well, obviously it would be bad for the team if Byard doesn't have a great year. Because you really, like you said, I mean, $8 million in dead money, I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
You'd have to really be motivated to get out of that deal. So you really want him to at least, you know, be up to it this year and next year, and then who knows after that. But like you said, he could easily justify it too and hang in there. But you're paid that much money. You're paid that much money to be a top defensive player in the league. You know, I mean, that position is devalued. I mean, you know, other than running back, I would say safety's probably been the least valued position at this point in the league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe interior offensive lineman, mm-hmm. but that, you know, the and all those positions other than running back still have inflation. Running back has deflation, so it's still like totally different. But you know, that's a big number for a safety.
Well, it is, and it's interesting too. You know, Jamal Adams now has a similar contract, and they're totally different players. Like Kevin Byard, a big part of what's made him really effective is his ability to intercept the ball and the turnovers that he's able to generate. Jamal Adams has two interceptions in his entire career so far. Now, Jamal Adams does a lot of things, and he's a really good player. And as far as run defenders go, at safety, he's probably the best in the league when it comes to that. So
whatever that's worth. I mean, it's worth something.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the money. It's just interesting to me that, yeah, I agree, safety is devalued. But those two guys are totally different in the way they play the game. Still making a lot of money at that position.
Well, the type of player Byard is more valuable to me.
I agree. I
mean, easily. It's great to have. Yeah, I mean Jamal, he's a little bit of a throwback. I think some of these safeties, he used to just be punishers. I mean, Steve Atwater just got into the hall. Go watch some Steve Atwater film. That guy, you know, did stuff that you can't do anymore in football. Yeah. But, I mean, that's what I think of growing up. Benny Blades, you know, just guys like that who used to just obliterate people. And he's more in that mold. But Byard at his best, that's the type of guy who can change a game.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in. Bleacher Report, as well as a couple other sites, don't like Kevin Byard's contract. Some say that it's the worst on the team. I like him, though. What do you think of that? Could Kevin Byard's contract be the worst on the team?
Well, look, if he isn't better, if he can get back to 2019 Kevin Byard, then I would disagree. If he's 2020 Kevin Byard, then he's overpaid. I mean, I don't think there's any wiggle room there. That wasn't a $15 million performance last year.
Nope.
Whether you and I do buy into the idea that some of the problems were out of his control, still, if you're paid that much, then you are paid to figure it out and put more things in your control and whatever. Overcompensate, just make some plays that change games, and there wasn't enough of that. So I guess to me I would say TBD. I'm trying to think of if you ranked the worst contracts on the team. Again, I think Tannehill and Henry, both those deals are outstanding.
Yeah, I agree.
They salvaged the entire last offseason. I mean, I think Lawan's deal is, for what he is, it's right in line. You could argue, you know, that Saffold is another guy to watch. I think he's been a really good addition after the slow start. But, you know, can he be healthy? Can he still be as effective and impactful? I don't know. There's
not a whole lot of bad deals.
Yeah, there really aren't. You know, like there's obviously been some bad choices. Yeah. And if we went back a year ago and knew what was going to happen, we could say like Vic Beasley is a terrible deal.
Right.
And Clowney, I mean, that's $23 million that you got nothing out of. But going into this season, I don't see any contracts that are like, ooh, that's an eyesore. I mean,
we'll see about Bud Dupree. Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a huge number for him, too. Although cap hit's only $5 million, but that's because of the signing bonus. But I mean, you can make the case that Byard is the most problematic. Again, if he's not what you still hope he is. I mean, he is the leader of the defense. He is probably really the spokesperson for this team. But that only goes so far. You know, you got to make those plays like he did the other day. One thing about Byard usually is, like, he catches the ball when it comes to him. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Which is underrated. That's why a lot of guys play defensive back, because they
can't catch the ball. That's right.
But he's got to make a lot of plays this year.
When we come back, we were joined yesterday by Predators general manager David Poile, and he had some very interesting comments regarding what the future of two prominent Predators could look like. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. David, you mentioned earlier this offseason that negotiations or I guess conversations with Ekholm and Forsberg in terms of an extension and not yet begun, but also mentioned both those guys have expressed interest in staying in Nashville long term. Is there any update? Have you begun conversations with Ekholm and Forsberg when it comes to contract extensions? Where do those talks kind of stand at this point?
Yeah, now that we're past the UC situation, now we're going to turn our focus now to Ekholm. I actually spoke with his agent yesterday afternoon, and we're going to talk either later this week or next week on that. And then I think shortly before training camp, we'll reach out to Philip Forsberg and his camp and sort of get a lay of the land as where Philip's thoughts are right now. So those are the next two priorities.
That was Predators general manager David Poile on with us here yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road discussing potential contract extension negotiations between the Predators and Matthias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg. And Joe, in that clip, Poile saying that he spoke with Ekholm's agent on Monday. Going to touch base again either later this week or early next week to get those conversations going. And then a little bit closer to training camp, check in with Philip Forsberg as well. As you pointed out yesterday on the show, it's kind of interesting the order that it's going in. You've gone from Saros, now you're moving to Ekholm, and then Forsberg coming after that. Look, we just kind of operated under the assumption that Ekholm shouldn't be all that complicated to figure out here. Do you buy that? Like, if you're Matthias Ekholm at his age, at 31, still playing really well at a high level, do you buy that Ekholm is just all of a sudden going to be gung-ho on signing a 4 or 5 year deal here and moving on? Or could there be real hesitation on his part based on the way the offseason has gone thus far for the Predators?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some hesitation. And, also the numbers matter here too, of course. I don't know. It's a great question. I feel like Forsberg just seems like a tougher sell. That's just to me, but I've heard it. I've heard the argument both ways on that.
Sure.
With both of those guys, you've got like a close friend and sort of like a close partner on the ice who's gone, with Arvidsson and then Ellis. I feel like Ekholm and his family are pretty entrenched here, and like you said, he's in that time of career. But again, you could look at his time of career and say, well, I mean, Forsberg has more time, on the back end if there's a extended period of rebuild, whatever you want to call it. And Ekholm, if he re-ups, he might be re-upping and never get close again.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible the Predators in 2 years are Stanley Cup contender. It's just
sure.
It's difficult to really know where they're at right now. So much of this is going to be determined by the young guys stepping in, and can they develop quickly? Can they develop the right way? Are guys like Tomasino and Cody Glass, can they be really effective offensive players for this team? If they can, then I think you like your short-term future as you try to build that out and project here to what the top six group could look like. But if they can't, then you're in a tough spot if you're the Predators and you're David Poile. And you asked a really interesting question yesterday, kind of following up to what Poile just said, about discussions about the term competitive rebuild that David Poile has used, and just kind of figure out exactly where Ekholm and Forsberg fall in line in those discussions. Here's what David Poile had to say yesterday here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Very important part of the conversation, and they have to believe in the organization and what we're doing and where we're going. And I will I've certainly had talks with both of them at the end of the year on a little bit on that, but I think as we get into, say, negotiations, if you will, that those conversations will be taken up a notch. And I'm going to give my viewpoints and my vision, but I certainly need to see how they see themselves fitting in, because you know, those type of players need to be our best players. They need to be leaders for us, and so they need to be totally bought in, or it's not going to work for them or for us. So the important discussions that, you know, hopefully will lead to future contracts with us, that would be the goal.
So David Poile talking yesterday about having discussions with Ekholm and Forsberg about what his vision is for the team, both in the short term and the long term as well, and seeing whether or not they buy in and agree with that vision. That's going to be interesting. Obviously a lot was made when Arvidsson was traded, of Forsberg's post on Instagram, of the thumbs down and all that stuff. And, you know, I didn't really think that was that big of a deal. I mean, it is what it is. And
did he TikTok about it?
I don't know if he TikTok about it. I don't know if I found Philip Forsberg on TikTok yet.
Angry TikTok?
Yeah, maybe so. But, you know, obviously when that happens, fans are going to make a big deal of it. It's part of the business. I mean, these guys know that. It's players move on every year, and it sucks. It's your friend, and I get all that. But if you didn't expect it, and I said this at the time, if you're a player on this team and you didn't expect some pretty big shakeups to happen this offseason, I'm not really sure you've been paying all that attention. And quite frankly, you've just not been realistic about what you've been watching out there. So I don't think at the end of the day that's that big of a deal that Arvidsson has been traded. But when you factor in Arvidsson and Ellis and Yarncroak and Rene and all these different pieces that are now gone with younger guys coming in and filling the void, I mean, I don't think it's that hard to sit here and think about this and determine that maybe Forsberg is looking at this and saying, huh, all right, so we've got a bunch of young guys coming in now. We didn't really get all that much better this offseason, at least from proven NHL players that have been here. Maybe they end up being better. I don't know. But proven NHL guys, they're not a better team than they were. Do I really want to sign up long-term to this? Now, especially in Forsberg's case, maybe at the end of the day, the money talks, and you sign the contract, and you love Nashville, and I have no reason to believe that Forsberg and Ekholm don't love it here, because I've had conversations with both of them that tell me that they do. But I don't think it's that difficult to imagine maybe some hesitancy or at least some pondering that's going on with Forsberg, saying, huh, do I really want to sign up for this when the next few years could be a little lean in terms of the development? I mean, I think it was BetMGM that came out with like the betting odds yesterday on the division, for the Central Division. And they've got the Predators in sixth. Maybe, I don't know, it was seventh. They've got them in seventh in the division. You know, that doesn't mean everything, and I realize that that's not the be-all, end-all. But that kind of tells you what the outward view of this team is after this offseason so far. And I just wonder if that part of it has creeped into the thought process at all for an Ekholm or for a Forsberg.
I mean, well, if it's money for Forsberg, then you know you'll get more if you go to market. So, I mean, like he'll get paid more by someone else if he doesn't sign here, right? I mean, that's pretty much.
Well, I mean, I think some of that depends on the season he has this year, though, right?
Yeah, but he'd have to have a pretty bad one.
He would,
I think. For you know, that's just how it works. You know, but obviously the hope is for a club who has your rights that you want to stay. I think some of this will be specifically like, what do they think of Philip Tomasino? What do they think of Ellie Tolvanen? What do they know of and think of Cody Glass? I mean, some of it is because a lot of it is on some of these specific young guys to emerge and become those proven NHL players. Do they believe they can? I mean, I'd love to know like what the internal, you know, view is of Tolvanen right now. I mean, I think there was a lot of promise last year that he demonstrated, but I don't know. I mean, I think that's going to be part of the answer too.
Well, quite frankly, what do they think of Johansson and Duchesne? You know, I think they love those guys. I think personally, they really like Matt Duchesne and really like Ryan Johansson. But if you're looking at the team as a whole, you look at the last couple of years and those two guys are getting paid $8 million a year and the production's just not there. And, you know, these guys are not idiots. They know that in order to build a competitive team in the NHL, you've got to have your top money guys that are productive for you. If you don't, you just can't win. So they know that. Now, maybe Philip Forsberg says, you know what? Put me with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne, and I guarantee you those guys will be more productive, and maybe we've got a chance to win. But they're not completely oblivious to these conversations either. They know, whether they'll ever admit it publicly or not, that Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne have got to be better for this team to have any chance whatsoever to compete.
Right. And I totally agree with your point on ultimately, yeah, you're not happy about the trades. You're missing the guys, but it's a business. You should know. It's just like some of the stuff, like Dante Fabro's going to be mad he was benched. Well, Dante Fabro should just be mad that he didn't absolutely play up to the standard to demand, you know,
exactly,
a spot in the lineup. I mean, yeah. Come on. It's pro sports. So certain level of that, I think some of the – and even like the Hines stuff, you know, I mean, as someone who closely followed the Detroit Red Wings for a long time, there were not a lot of bouquets being sent Scotty Bowman's way
from
the players, okay? I mean, give me a break. But look, it may be – but you want to win, and you want to make money. And, like, for Forsberg in particular, you could make the case that you got a better chance of both somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's something that he's got to work his way through here. And also, you know, what type of year does he have this year? Forsberg has a monster year. That's going to affect that price tag a bit as well if he drags further towards the process of free agency. So a lot to figure out here for the Predators. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How concerned are you about Philip Forsberg and Matthias Ekholm that they've not signed an extension yet? What would your plan of action be if you're David Poile and the Nashville Predators? Let us know on our text and our phone lines as well. We'll get to those coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Clark Lee joining us to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to Vanderbilt's head coach joining us here in about 12 minutes or so. We'll catch up on all things Vanderbilt fall camp with him. Joe Rexrode entering the studio again, flashing his "Shh, no one cares" mug that he's got this morning. A nice pink coffee mug for Joe Rexrode this morning. So he has come prepared. Right now, talking Predators, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexrode.
Good morning, guys. I represent the segment of the fan base, hardcore, day one season ticket holder. I go to 30, 35 games a year. And I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs this year. But to be honest with you, that doesn't bother me because I feel like they've got as much of the youth movement in place as they can possibly have. I didn't think that they would be able to move either Johansson or Duchesne. My question to you guys is, based on the feedback that you're getting from Predators fans in the mid-state area, what percentage of Predator fans do you think is really impatient and will jump off the bandwagon, if you will, if they don't have a good season? And what segment of it do you think is going to be patient and will accept the youth movement for what it is and be optimistic?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. You know, it's interesting because I was actually thinking about that very question the other day. If things go, I guess, poorly would be the way to describe it this year, but I mean that kind of depends on the eye of the beholder too. But you've got young guys coming in, and there's progress that's made, and maybe some young guys come in and flash and they play really well, but you don't make the playoffs. What does that mean to this fan base? Because I think there are a lot of people that are like Bob that say, all right, you know what? Yeah, I'd like to make the playoffs, but if they don't, and the expense of that is the young guys come in, they get more playing time, and they get some experience as they move forward, I'll make that trade. Making the playoffs is secondary to that, trying to figure out what you have with these younger players. And then you've got some that say, I mean, forget that. Give yourself a chance. Make the playoffs in this league. We just saw it with Montreal. You get in, anything can happen in this league. I don't know what the percentage is. My guess would be a lot of your hardcore fans, I would think, probably take Bob's approach and are more interested in what the long-term outlook of the franchise is going to look like. I think your casual fan, a lot of those people don't really get invested anyway until right around the time of the playoffs.
Well, I guess I heard Bob is asking, if it doesn't happen like he thinks, then how many people are going to be understanding and how many aren't? Which is a little different than what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, not, I want to make the playoffs. I mean, everybody wants them to make the playoffs, but I feel like if you look at it that way, you know, people who are invested like Bob long term, probably more likely to be understanding, I think. So how much of the how much of this fan base was added in a bandwagon fashion, which all fan bases are bandwagon, by the way. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's a bandwagon for every team. And
that's the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. It grows and shrinks based on success. But how much of this fan base was sort of coming on late, right around, oh, I don't know, 2017-ish or so,
yeah,
who are also maybe quick to do something else with their time if things aren't just amazing?
I think there's some, for sure. I think there's a sizable portion. Now, is it the majority? I don't know. I mean, I think this fan base has grown a lot. I mean, I remember what it used to be like. Getting 14,000 people was a chore at times, to get 14,000 people in there invested. I mean, you don't even think about that anymore if you're a Predators fan. So it's a much different situation. Like, that's why, you know, making the playoffs for this organization, it's still important. And we talked about the business side of that this past year. You want to make the playoffs. But it's not, you know, critical mass like it used to be. Like, you used to have to make the playoffs if you're the Predators to get some of that additional revenue. Because quite frankly,
make your numbers.
Yeah, like, you needed every bit of it. And now, I think your franchise, if you have to go through a year or a couple of years of a retool or rebuild or whatever you want to call it, I think you're much more apt to deal with that now. Now, the pandemic changes that, and I realize there are finances that you just didn't have last year with the pandemic. And hopefully that gets better this year, and you can start to build some of that back up. But I do think the health of the franchise from a fan interest standpoint, you are more able to sustain something like that now than you were this time 10 years ago, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is like in terms of like how it's viewed and how people are reacting to what's going on, this is where I don't think you can remind yourself too often about this, like the loudest people on Twitter or the loudest people in the comments often really actually represent a smaller percentage of the fan base than you think.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like to also go by the, you know, just Preds fans, you know, or like Vols fans, you know, and how are they? I think that's sometimes that matches up with the social media anger. And sometimes it's like it's warranted, you know, like, you know, a couple of years ago, the year that Laviolette got fired and everything, I mean, people were ticked off and they should have been.
Sure.
Like, this was billed as the most talented roster they'd had, and they looked like crap out there.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, sometimes it's like it all matches together. It's hard for me to have a great read right now. I mean, I think the invested fan like Bob can probably live with a year of, let's see if the young guys can play, and then next year with the money, try to do something big.
Now, it's one thing for Bob to be able to do that, but does Philip Forsberg have the same mindset? Like, well, does Mattias Ekholm have that same mindset? I don't know. I mean, that's
they've got different options than the people who go to the games.
They do.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JC in Goodlettsville texting in. Would you call Forsberg injury prone? He's missed a lot of games. 40 goals in 80 games played is worth $8 million, but injuries have kept him from that. Duchesne's salary and production making this tough on Poile. And that goes back a little bit to what I said yesterday. Like, Philip Forsberg, to me, I think if you've watched him play, you know he's a very good player. He is in the short conversation of the greatest and most talented forwards the Predators have ever had. I mean, he's right there on that list. I still think we've all waited for kind of the next level for him to hit, and I just don't know that he's going to hit that at this point. Now, to JC's point, health's been a part of that. I mean, there was one season, I think it may have been maybe 18-19. Yeah, maybe 18-19, where he got hurt, where he was early on, looked like he was well on his way to – maybe putting up 35 or 40. But
he's
got hurt.
He's also streaky, though.
He's streaky. And, you know, the last 4 years, he's been hurt. He's dealt with some injuries along the way.
So why do you think that's going to get better now?
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty – and the crazy part is, before that, he had 3 consecutive years where he played in 82 games, every one of them. He didn't miss a game. And that's been something that he struggled with the last couple of years. So that's going to hurt him in contract negotiations. But it goes back again to what I said yesterday. If I'm Philip Forsberg, and especially if I'm his agent, I'm looking around, I'm saying, huh, so you're paying Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene $8 million, and you don't think that I'm more important to this team offensively than those two? Okay.
The answer is, look, we screwed up, but please stay with us.
Exactly.
I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah. Does he buy that,
hey,
though?
Hey, Philip, if I could go back, I would, but I can't.
Yeah, I know.
Please sign anyway.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where that next contract, what that number looks like, because I agree. Like, if he got to the open market, I mean, it's just what happens in unrestricted free agency, you get overpaid. But would he be, could he make more than $8 million on the open market? I don't know.
No.
It's going to be, you don't think so?
No.
But I bet you he'd be right around there. You don't think he'd be right around eight?
I think he'd be closer to seven than eight.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean,
if that's the case, that's good news for
Predators. Taylor Hall contract is one that I would look at with Forsberg, and you know, I know Taylor Hall is a few years older, but like Taylor Hall is only making $6 million on his new contract with Boston.
But that, yeah, but he's also, I mean, like you said, he's older. He's had issues bouncing around. I think if Forsberg had a really good year this year, I don't know. I feel like
he's a little older, but he's more proven. He's had better seasons.
Yeah, he had one incredible season.
John Hines, baby.
That's right.
Get him back in there. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll catch up on all things Vanderbilt. See how fall camp is going for the Commodores. We'll do that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And have you heard about this groundbreaking announcement from Jordan Spieth and FanDuel? They formed an official partnership, and I can't think of a duo more appropriate for each other than these two. Spieth has already established himself as one of the most elite golfers in the world with a record of accomplishments most won't achieve in a lifetime. And everyone knows FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. To celebrate this, FanDuel is giving an odds boost to all customers who bet Spieth to shoot par or better in round one of the Northern Trust. That's right, FanDuel is giving all customers an odds boost on one of the most elite golfers in the world to shoot par or better in round one of the Northern Trust. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons why I love betting and America loves betting with FanDuel. And they also have a ton of deposit options and lightning fast payouts. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use as well. And remember, new customers get a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB to get your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. That promo code is Rob. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Risk-free bet available for new users only and issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Odds boost must wager on designated boost market. $10 first deposit required. A max bonus of $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.